Father God, we thank you for this time that we can tabernacle with you. You're a mighty God, and we're humbled, Lord, for you have chosen us for such a time as this. Lord, there have been many times where we look at our own imperfections, where we look at our blemishes in our scales, and we wonder, is there anything that we can do? But Father, you keep speaking your word of life over us. You constantly remind us that we can do all things mm-hmm. through Christ who strengthens us.
Yes, Lord.
That is God who is before us, mm-hmm. who can be against us. We thank you for that truth today. Father, as I submit myself unto you, I bow down before you. Father, I pray that you will speak to my mind and speak to my mouth. Allow me to become an oracle of your kingdom. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit will begin a work, a transformation in our lives. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We pray, Lord, that you will open up the portal tonight, allowing we, your ambassadors, to touch heaven and touch earth today. Our prayer has continued, Lord, that your kingdom will come and your will be done in our lives and in this ministry as it is in heaven. So we give you praise and glory for what you continue to do to us and through us and for us. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So I'm coming to a close doing this teaching on Shemitah, S-H-E-M-I-T-A, the rest of the land. My hope and prayer that you have heard these teachings, how we've talked about the things that have taken place in antiquity, how that is very relevant to what's going on today. My hope and prayer that you've heard these teachings, that God is very serious about the restoration of his cosmos, that he has given this house of worship an assignment. He has given us a domain to rule and reign in. And his expectation is for us to govern and to rule and to legislate as his ecclesia in this region on Main Street within the 43205 zip code. We've talked about how that last Tuesday at Bible study, how that according to Joel, it was the cankerworm and the palmerworm, the locust and the caterpillar. They're eating up things in the lives of Israel. Mm-hmm. And how that the same thing has happened in the 05 zip code. It really manifested itself during the early 1960s because when President Eisenhower back in the 50s had decided to build infrastructure for the expanded growth of our United States of America. As a result, those infrastructures marginalized African-American communities, and it caused them great harm and disservice. In our zip code in 1964, the same thing happened to it because within that community on East Main Street, there was great commerce that was taking place. There was much housing that was taking place. But when that happened with the new infrastructure of I-70 and I-71, that's when the cankerworm and the palmerworm, the locust and the caterpillar began to eat up this particular community. And so when we came, the zip code had the highest crime rate in the city. The zip code had the highest chronic disease in the Midwest. There were in just across the street from us in the south of Maine area, there were over 100 vacant abandoned properties. The school, Fairwood, that serves that community had done very poorly teaching the kids in the community. But yet that was the domain that God said he wanted us to be planted as a seed. And so it's our responsibility is to transform this community and to address these chronic issues that have been going on. And so when the prophets came, when we were worshiping across the street at Rock of Faith, They had told us by the according to God's word that we will begin to see the transformation in this community, that when the transformation fully comes, that we will never see the community as it was. It will be completely transformed, and we will be a part of this process. Mm-hmm. So we talked about how that was Israel's disobedience, not adhering to God's laws and obeying his covenants, which allowed the invasion of the locusts to come in and to marginalize Israel. And I have argued very strongly is that it's God's people who disobeyed his words and his commandments. Yeah. They have not obeyed what he has summoned us to do. As a result, the light has allowed the darkness to come in and to completely marginalize this community. And so when we talked about this, Sister Wall asked a question. That's all well and good, Brother Brown. But then how are we going to, if we're going to restore this community, how is it going to get done? Mm-hmm. So I told her we needed to wait till 6 o'clock on Saturday evening, and we will begin to answer that question. So let us jump in the water now. Let us go to Isaiah 58, please. Isaiah 58. Thank you, Lord. If you need help to locate it, it's on page 984. So if you go to page 984, you just might find Isaiah 58. Oh, I'm sorry. That's my Bible. I'm sorry. Forgive me. I'm going to focus on... I'm going to focus on two verses. Isaiah 58. I'm going to read verse 1 and verse 12. Verse 1, it says, shout it aloud. Do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion and to make the house of and to the house of Jacob their sins. And if you read on, it will talk about how that God had called Israel on a true fast, and that how he, these true people of God, he refers to them as watchmen. He refers to the true people of God as watchmen. But in verse number 12, he says to the watchmen, you will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring. Excuse me, I'm reading verse 11. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land, and you will be and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. For verse 12, your people will rebuild the ancient ruins, and you will raise up the age-old foundations, and you will be called repairers of the broken walls, restorers of streets with dwellings. These watchmen, Yahweh calls them, your people will rebuild the ancient ruins, and you will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of broken walls and restore of streets with dwellings. And I'm remembering, correct me if I'm wrong, when we finish our time and come together, Jay Jara, we have a couple of questions, and one of the questions declares, what is your purpose? And I hear we are
developing communities and people.
We develop communities and people. You would think it was planned that way, but it was given to a guy who was broke down in a hospital, paralyzed, in the summer of 2007. So, in Isaiah 58, explains how repairers of the breaches are. According to scriptures, they are watchmen who cry aloud and spare not. They lift up their voices, Terry, and show God's professed people their transgressions and sin against God's moral law of love. Moral law of love. I repeat the third time, God's moral law of love. What are we doing this summer? We're gathering God's people to remind them of God's moral law of love that we should be sharing upon the lives of the people that live in this community. Because we are our brother's keeper, Sharon. Keith, we are our brother's keeper. And the relationship that we have vertically is the same relationship we're supposed to have horizontally. The first four commandments is our relationship with Yahweh, and the six remaining commandments is our relationship with our fellow man. The repairers of the breach are laborers in the hands of God to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, to break every yoke that binds mankind to sin. That's what we read in the early verses right after verse number 8. That's what the watchmen do, Terry. That's what the watchmen do, Terry. They teach and preach God's holy law of the spirit of life and liberty. He has liberated us so we can liberate the land and all those who dwell in it. These watchmen, they further give spiritual and physical food to the hungry. Wow. Imagine that. Because it's documented in Isaiah 58 after verse number 6. I'm just repeating to you what's already documented about the watchmen. They give shelter to the homeless, which refers to the body of Christ, and clothe the naked with robes of righteousness by God's faith. That's our housing program. That's our feeding program. That's our community garden. That's why I adopted a marginalized school in a marginalized community. The light of God's righteousness is upon them. And I remind y'all that every time we come together. When we leave, I speak a blessing over you. The light of God countenance is upon you. Ooh. But it's documented in Isaiah 58 after verse number 6. And when you call on him, Brother Keith, he responds and says, here I am. He does this not for religious people. He does this for the watchmen. The Lord guides them. He continually waters them so abundantly that they become like a water garden. Wow. So he waters us so that we become a water garden. We are their oasis.
Yes, yes.
We are the oasis where the people can come and drink from the well of the king. Wow. Remember the Samaritan woman? And she met Yeshua. She went there to find water at a well, and he told her, oh, yo, sister, I got water that you not know of. It's everlasting living water. And guess where it resides, folks? On a pea patch on 1670 East Main Street. Wow. Wow. So finally, the declaration is that you will be repairers of the breach who build up old waste places and raise up foundations of many generations. So we're not just building for this present generation, Keith. We're building for generations down the road. I'm getting a lot of feedback. I need everybody to mute. I'm getting feedback. I need everybody to mute. Thank you. So we're not just building for one generation. We're building for continual generation. Why? Because our God is a God of generations. Mm-hmm. He's interested in generational blessings. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The word breach or repair the breach means means a break or a gap. So there has been a gap or a break in this community. And God is saying, I need you to be the gap, the breach. Build that thing up. Easily, if you want to, you can say, we're the bridge. We're the bridge. We talked at Bible study, Terry, that you know, if salt has lost its savor, it's to be trodden on the foot of men. Right? And I explained to you how the Romans, they use salt as mortar to create roads so they can dethrone and pull down any uprising. I want to change, I want to nuance that. We become the bridge where Christ walks over us and engages this community. Oh, come on, Davis, come on. We become the bridge where he walks over and encounters the lives of all these people. He can't get there because he needs someone to make that happen. Genuine faith of God's commandments of love warns us in James 1, 22 and 25. Sharon, go to James 1, 22 and 25. Read verses James 1, 22 through 25. We've all very familiar with this. But understand the importance of what repairers of the breach do. James 1, 20 through to 25.
22.
Yes, ma'am, through 25.
Do not merely listen. So I just want to make sure I'm James 1, mm-hmm. 22 through 25, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Mm. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and gives and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. NIV, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving not your own selves. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. That's huge. Don't just be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. But if we look at the perfect law of liberty, meaning God's love, the perfect law of liberty, which is God's love, and we continue in that, not by being hearers, but doers of the work, that man or that house shall be blessed in their deeds. This is important for us to understand. And so what we're doing as an apostolic ministry, being the point of the spear, we're gathering up the troops and we're reminding them that we are supposed to be a community of love, not of judgment, not a community of vice. We don't need to judge Fred and Barney and Bam Bam. Mm-hmm. They already know they're in sin. The Holy Spirit can deal with that. Mm-hmm. We are to love them through the process so that Christ can encounter with them and bring liberty to them. So here what we're doing. We're gathering up the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. We're gathering seven churches to come together to do work of ministry in the domain that he's given us. And they're coming. So that we can bring liberty to who? To the land and all who dwells in. So Shemitah can be their portion. That rest can come into the land. That's what we're doing. So through the work of God's love, that's what we're going to share. We're going to share the liberty of God's law. Terry, if you can go to John 14:15, read that for me, please. John 14:15. Keith, if you have your Bible, go to 1 John 3:18. Terry, John 14:15. Keith, 1 John 3:18. This is going to be our motivator, folks. This is why we do what we do. John 12:14-15. 1 John 3:18.
You said John 12?
John 14:15.
Okay. All right. Reading from the NIV. If you love me, you will obey what I command.
That's all I need. That's all I need. 1 John 3:18. You got that, brother? You got that, Keith? You there? Vivian, can you get that?
Yes.
Vivian?
I'm here, but there's a lot of feedback where I'm at.
Okay. I'm going to have my wife read for me. Go ahead, Vivian.
1 John chapter 3, verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth.
1 John 3:18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So if we really love him, Terry, we're going to obey his commandments. Period. If we love him, we're going to do what he said to do. And if we do have his love, not in word, nor in tongue, but our love will be demonstrated in deed, in our deeds, and in truth. Hmm. Sharon, I'm talking to you guys, and I'm hearing the whispers back in the day.
Uh-uh.
It's a love thing. It's always a love thing. It's always been a love thing. Mm-hmm. And so God is going to use us as the ecclesia. But he's using us as the apostolic ministry to motivate the ecclesia to operate in a love thing to a marginalized community. That's why we speak comfort, comfort over these people. That's why we pray and intercede for these people, because it's a love thing. We must be God's faithful watchmen, giving a loud cry, lifting up our voice, showing God's professed people their transgressions of sin. So that's one thing we have to do. While with us walking out these things, these truths, and inviting them to come and participate in what we're doing, it's going to help them understand they're not really measuring up. We're not going to judge them. They're not quite measuring up to the thing that God has called them to do. But we're also, he's causing us to love Fred Flintstone, Barney Rubble, Pebbles, and Bam Bam, by obeying his commandment of love. If we love him, then we must love our neighbor. And if we love our neighbor, we must love him. But we are the watchman who walks in the liberty of God's love. And we're going to bring the liberty of God's love to the 43205 zip code. That's what we're doing. And we're summoning other parts of the body to come alongside us to doing this work as a means of encouraging them to do the same thing in their domains. That's all I have. Any comments and questions? That's how we're going to be repairs of the breach and restores of waste places. Comments and questions? Anybody?
When you said, Pastor Brown, that you said we are the bridge that Jesus walks over,
I said there's an image that we can use to help us understand what this looks like. There's a gap.
Yeah.
There's a breach between one side and the other side.
Okay.
And we could be that bridge that connects both sides.
Okay.
And then we could be that bridge to allow him to walk over us.
Okay. Now,
to dethrone the kingdom of darkness. So I'm nuancing, I'm flipping about us being salt, not losing his savor, but being salt where we're being a preserving agent that is a bridge where we can touch heaven, we can touch earth, and allowing Christ to come and to engage our community. That's the bridge.
Okay.
Pastor, how are they supposed to see? I'm sorry, Teresa, were you finished?
Oh, yeah, I'm good.
Okay. How are they supposed to see their shortcomings? Is it through the life we serve? Or, to looking at what we're doing? Because, some people are hard-headed. They don't see what they don't want to see.
That's okay.
And Sharon, you're telling the truth.
Yeah.
You're telling the truth. However, what God has a habit of doing, he raises up a standard of righteousness. And then he uses that standard against his people to say, are you measuring up?
Gotcha.
So we also know that judgment is going to come upon the earth. We all know that. But scripture tells us in Peter that judgment is going to come to the house of God first, though. So he's going to deal with us first. So he's using this little portal on Main Street, and people are hearing what we're doing, and they're saying, ooh, one, can we come and play? And then two, maybe we need to check on what we're doing in our own area.
So is what we're doing the standard of righteousness that he's raising up? Okay.
Yes, ma'am. But we're not, it's not us alone. He's raising up others the same way.
Right.
But he only uses a remnant. He uses a remnant. And we have a whole lot of stories in the Old Testament. He wants all of his people to become in victory, right? But he chooses a handful of people to be the tool that he uses to bring victory. And then everyone else in the body gets to join in. Because he loves all of his children.
Amen.
He loves all of his children. I was with a brother for lunch the other day. And he has a bad habit of hanging out with Jews like I do. And he was telling me that he's one of his best friends, and the brother's from New York. His friend is from New York, And he's pretty wealthy. So he was telling my friend Danny that he recognized that he's a heathen. He knows he ain't living right. But he also knows because of covenant that he and his people will always be blessed. Again, he recognizes he ain't living right. He knows he ain't living right. But because of covenant, he knows that him and the rest of his people will be blessed by God. And what he was helping my friend to understand is, it's because of the covenant relationship between Yahweh that no matter what they do, he's still going to love on them. He's still going to bless on them. And he's not going to change his mind. So when Danny began to say, oh my God, hold on. If he's doing that for you, and you know you're doing wrong, and I'm trying to live right as a Gentile, imagine what he has in store for me. And it was messing his head up. And his friend began to help understand what Abba means. He's not just father. He's Abba father. He's not just a father. He's a father who has a great deal of interest in his children. He's intrigued. He's vested in his children. He cares about everything that's going on. He makes great plans for his children. He is an Abba father. Oh my goodness. He was like, really? Is that what kind of father I've been adopted to? And we, Terry, we don't have a clue. But he's helping us understand what kind of love he has for us. Because we are his children. So Danny's friend, he got his life together and he has a relationship with Yeshua. But the thing that Danny was understanding, like, oh my God. I mean, it's all about God's love. I mean, he is serious about this. It's transformative. It shapes you. It molds you. It empowers you. It lifts you up. But if we keep all this love to ourselves and don't share it with the 05 zip code, what kind of people are we? We have been liberated. We have come free. So we should share that liberty, that freedom that Christ has given us. We need to let them know about the love of our God. So that goes and makes the point where, yeah, there was time, there was 28 churches. Now there are no longer 20, and the numbers keep reducing. But God has called, he has blessed us for some reason. And now we're being, again, the point on the spear as an apostolic ministry. And he's using us to get kingdom work done in an 05 zip code. My friends tell me, Terry, the numbers don't add up. They just don't add up. It doesn't make good sense. And I agree with it. No, it don't. It don't make good. In our cognitive development, it don't make sense. It don't. But in the kingdom, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. This happens all the time.
What's so funny, Pastor Brown, is, you know, the last week when I was at Christ Church, a much larger congregation than we are, and I thought they were doing good with their food giveaway. You know, they had a little truck and like somebody's little flatbed truck, and it was piled high with boxes. And then you sent the pictures later on that day of the food giveaway. And I was just like, I didn't even want to say anything. They were so happy.
Stop.
I can't even say. But Jay Jira had a food giveaway, but they had tons of food.
Hey, that used to be us.
Goodness.
But he's changed the narrative, Brendan. He's changed the narrative. Mm. Come on, Sharon. We was out there in the cold and the rain and the wind. Mm. But we were serving. We was loving on them. But now it's being moderated by Jay Jira. But he's saying, I don't need y'all to labor. Let somebody else join in the labor.
Yeah.
Wow. Sharon, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, my last thing, and this is for Bible study, maybe on Tuesday, but I see how we're serving the community, and you can measure that. You talked about, you know, health is getting better, crime rates are down. You have organizations coming, not only churches, but corporations coming alongside of you.
Mm-hmm.
So we know we're having an impact on the community. How do we know that souls are being saved? What is the measure?
So let's go back to the model. What does the model, what did he do? He ministered to the needs of the people first. And after he began to minister their needs, then he began to share about the kingdom of God. And so we've been doing the same thing, but the shift is coming now. Because we're talking about colonization.
Right.
And we're bringing the gospel. We're not bringing bread and wine this time. Mm-hmm. We ain't bringing clothes and beds. No, we're bringing the good news.
Gotcha. Okay.
See that?
Yeah.
So they will trust us.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because y'all ain't got no hidden agenda. You ain't for my good. You know, for my bad, excuse me, all, you know. So when you come to us and start quieting the nose in my head or quieting the nose in my stomach, man, I can probably hear what you have to say now.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Now
I'm... That reminds me of the way Jesus did it, you know.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about.
He had all the thousands of people come and be fed, you know, food, and then when they and they just kept on coming because, you know, but then he said, well, let me tell you something here about the good news.
Mm.
And then he was able to share with them. Now all of them didn't want to hear, because, you know, it says that some of them walked away, but a whole bunch of them stayed and listened.
Gotcha.
You know, and listened to you.
So the other thing, saints, the other thing, what did he also do? He didn't do all the work by himself. He allowed his disciples to engage in the work.
Yeah.
See what he's doing. So we've been doing this work, but now we're inviting other folks through relationship.
That makes sense.
Through relationship, we're inviting other folk, suburban and urban, black and white, old and young, but they're coming to our domain, though.
Gotcha.
See, right. And then when they do this, Sharon, then they can be able to learn from the experience, and maybe they can do that in their own domain.
Yeah, gotcha.
It's huge. That's huge. What Vivian told us years ago, he plays chess. He don't play checkers. Anybody else? Comments, questions, issues? He's working this thing out, saints. He's going to build his church. Believe me.
Amen.
He's going to build his church. Amen. His ecclesia. Father, we thank you for clarity. You said in Proverbs, and all of our getting understanding, but most of all, get wisdom.
Thank you, Lord.
And Colossians tells us, Lord, that it is Christ who is the manifold wisdom of God. See, you're allowing us to tap into him. He's downloading his kingdom principles. We're clicking on the icons of glory. Yeah, Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We're clicking on the icons of his kingdom principles. And they're being downloaded into us. What a privilege, Lord. What an honor. And then you want us to share these blessings with our fellow man. And how you remind us, Lord, of the moral laws of love. The moral laws of love in your kingdom. And we are to spread it around. Throw it around like frisbees for everyone to embrace and to receive. We thank you for this liberty. We thank you for this grace to be servants of the Most High God. Bless this time, Lord God. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.